Getting down to the root of the matter, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, my Vice Chairman at the Institute, fellow analyst, good friend, and yes, presuppositional thinker, Chuck Michaelis.
And I'm presupposing that we're still not going to get this finished today.
So for those who've been sticking with us for the last couple of days while we've been unpacking this, we still haven't gotten down to the bottom of the steamer chest yet. But the point is that that's where we're heading. We're heading toward those foundational presuppositions. We're heading toward how you build a right worldview.
By the way, if the folks think that this is worthy of something they'd like to have to play or to listen to again, first of all, you can download it from our website, www.principledpolicy.com. And if you'd like, contact us and we'll make these shows available as a series that you can play in your car or whatever. We'll put them on a CD for you, and they'll all be in some kind of order that is coherent, as we talked about yesterday.
Yes.
So in any case, contact us. You can get a hold of us through www.principledpolicy.com. And while you're at it, if you like what we do and you want to hear us continue on the radio, click the little button that says donate up in the upper left-hand corner of the screen there. It'll say help us continue our work or something like that. And we'll very gladly take your donation. Now, let's get back to where we were yesterday. We had just gone through two major presuppositions that underlie the original presupposition. And if we don't want to waste too much time going back over that.
There is one thing, though, I do want to, because we ran out of time yesterday. We talked about when you press somebody to the root of their thinking, oftentimes they get angry. And a lot of Christians get scared about that because they don't want to anger anybody.
Right.
They don't want Christianity coming across as harsh. Point is, it's not harsh to lead somebody to the truth, to lead somebody to the fact that what they're thinking and how their lives are being guided by those presuppositions is leading them to hell, is leading them to permanent separation from God. So honestly, Chuck, you know, and I think I mentioned this, and I just want to clarify for folks, I'm happy when the person that I'm in that apologetics wrestling match with gets angry, because that means they've finally started to realize that the castle that they've built in their mind has a very huge weak spot that is about to crumble, and once it crumbles, their castle is lost. And they're desperately sending reinforcements, and that's the angry defensive mode,
yes,
in order to protect that weak spot. But the point is that that weak spot is there because God tears down false thinking. God's truth will destroy those things set against him. We, you know, they call the traditions of men and the rudimentary philosophies of the world, vain thinking and false philosophies, all are going to fall before the truth of the living God.
And the anger is a sign that you've ignited an internal conflict that they have to resolve for themselves. You cannot resolve it for them. All you can do is find yourself in the situation where they come and ask you, and very often they will be very pointed and sometimes very emotionally delivered questions. You have to be prepared to give an answer. As I think it's 1st or 2nd Peter, I always mess this up, but give an answer for...
Always prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you.
That's
yes.
Right. And that is, Dr. Bonson uses that in his book, Always Ready.
That's right.
And that's one of the bases of the book. Okay. That being said, let's get back to the second major presupposition that comes in. The first one was that a fetus is not human life, but quote-unquote potential life. And the rights of humanity do not attach, and those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, the second one is actually very closely related to the first one. It really is sort of a subtext of it. And that is, and you may recognize this language, Barry, the fetus has no rights that the born person is bound to respect.
Wow. You know what? That's the same argument that was used in the slavery discussions.
Dred Scott decision.
Yeah, that was part of the Dred Scott decision, that because the black is not really a human being, Therefore, the rest of society doesn't have to afford them any rights.
Now, Roger Taney was really a brilliant jurist, but in this one, he showed that his presuppositions in the area of humanity and race were completely wrong.
Yes.
You cannot just arbitrarily, and again, we get back to arbitrariness, and one of the points I wanted to make about arbitrariness, and this is an important consideration. Arbitrariness destroys presuppositions' usefulness, not to mention the coherency of the argument.
Absolutely.
And incoherency destroys all arguments. And in fact, the Dred Scott decision and its incoherency destroys, and in fact, essentially, let's face it, brought on a war.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we mentioned this phrase yesterday. Ideas have consequences.
That's right.
And it's a great book by a philosopher in the mid-20th century by the name of Richard Weaver. I would suggest people get that book. I mean, that's one of the handful of books, along with Dr. Bonson's Always Ready, that I believe that even Christians, we need to read and start thinking through these things so that we're sharpening our minds, so that we are able to give a defense, an apologetic, that we are able to rightly divide the word of truth, and that we are therefore tearing down all of those false concepts that put themselves up against God and Christ. And we've got those in spades, Charles. Atheism, secular materialism, Darwinian evolution, the abortion culture, the culture of homosexuality, the culture of hedonism and licentiousness. Basically, modern American culture.
Yes. The MTV culture.
The MTV culture, that's it.
Well, if you go back and look, you have to ask the question on this question. The fetus has no rights that the born person is bound to respect. And the presuppositional answer is, okay, really? Why?
Boy, that's a tough three-letter word of question. The why question is one that what you're saying is, okay, defend that presupposition.
That's right.
Defend
exactly.
It.
This is one thing you learn when you go into presuppositional apologetics. It's not about so much making statements. It's about asking questions.
And asking the right questions.
That's right. Asking the correct questions.
Chuck, this is the visual I like to give. We can spend a lot of time taking an axe and hacking at the branches, but we'll never kill the tree that's giving off bad fruit unless we put that axe to the roots. That's presuppositional apologetics. We're taking an axe to the roots of a bad tree that's giving off bad fruit. Because that's how we understand as believers where we are in Christ is by their fruit ye shall know them. And if there's bad presuppositions, in other words, if the roots are bad and they're taking in bad things, the fruit's going to be bad. We touched by that word, brushed by it just gently yesterday, but I'm going to bring it back up today. There is no neutrality.
No neutrality, that's right.
You can't have a tree. Oh, well, that tree's okay if you like it, but if you don't like it, then it's not okay. We'll just cut half of it down. No, it's either good and useful, or it's not. And I don't know about you. You've got some trees around your property. I've got some trees around my property. If a tree's not useful, and it's not doing good things, and it could possibly become dangerous because it could fall on the house, out she comes.
Yep.
And oftentimes, you either burn, grind out, or pull out the roots to keep anything else from coming up.
That's right. Especially certain kinds of trees that, if you've ever planted locust, try and kill a locust tree. Good luck.
I don't believe anybody ever plants a locust. They just show up.
They show up, yeah. Well, I had a locust grove in the house when I was a kid, and you're right. You cut one down, and shoots come off the root. And the roots go shoot out for 30, 40 feet.
Yes.
And you've got 10 or 12 different locust trees on the original root of the tree. So that is very much a picture of some of our both good and bad presuppositional thinking, because good and bad presuppositional thinking both yield a tree, but sometimes the tree is useful and sometimes the tree is harmful. That's and right. You really want to cultivate the ones that are useful, and you trying to desperately to kill off the ones that are not useful.
That's right.
Okay. So when we ask that question, why, we can go back and look at the original questions that we asked under the first presupposition, and you apply the relevant ones to the, and the bottom line of the whole thing, we won't go back through that in the interest of time. You can listen to it if you want to. The bottom line is that the unborn are not persons and therefore have no rights. Now, this is why yesterday we came out in defense of personhood. The fact is that a fetus at 1 cell, at 8 cell, at 21 weeks, at 32 weeks, at live birth, is a person fully attached with the rights. This is a presupposition of the Christian. And any Christian who tells you that they can be Christian and support abortion rights is being disingenuous, has not thought through their position, simply doesn't know what they're talking about, that God would look the other way while you take the life of something that he knit together in its mother's womb and knew before the foundations of the earth.
So are you sneaking back into this no neutrality idea?
Yeah, that's right. Because one of the things, Barry, that when the Susan G. Komen thing came out.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Last week. Man, Christians were elated that, the Komen Foundation was finally coming to its senses on giving money to the Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
Well, that it kind of ignited a firestorm of people who were on both sides of the issue from in places like social networking, like Facebook. And I, like everybody else, have a Facebook account, and it ignited difficulties inside my own family. And I was getting all kinds of just nastiness about how Komen Foundation had pulled the rug out from under breast cancer research.
I think, just for clarification, it was your extended family, not your immediate family.
Not my immediate family, that's right. No, well, we've done a pretty good job of instilling the worldview in the kids, and my wife and I are pretty much in agreement on this. But without going into too much detail, the fact is I started getting arguments. You know, I got a thing that said thanking the Komen Foundation for yanking the rug out from under breast cancer research. And I'm like, well, you should really actually thank them for discontinuing being disingenuous about the fact that they're giving money to Planned Parenthood. And the fact is that Planned Parenthood exists essentially to... It was founded as a eugenics organization.
Yes.
And the fact is it continues as a eugenics organization. Unfortunately, minorities far and away are far more the victim of abortion than any other group.
Yes.
White people, even Asians, aren't as much as, unfortunately, black people are the major recipients of abortion, which is really just a tragedy. And I began to examine some of the arguments, and I noticed, A whole bunch of presuppositional baggage, and B, an emotional quality that allowed them, because of the presuppositions, then logical fallacy crept in. And we did that whole series of shows on logical fallacies. Well, almost all logical fallacies have bad presuppositions at the base.
Yes, they do.
And that's the whole point of talking about presupposition. The fact is, if you don't have a grasp, a firm presuppositional foundation for your argument, you're going to allow logical fallacy to enter in. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that there aren't people who are good presuppositionalists that don't occasionally fall into logical fallacy territory. Barry, you and I are, I've done it. We're aware of people who have fairly decent presuppositions who occasionally fall into the logical fallacy hole.
Well, I'm guilty of that all the time.
It happens, yeah. And unfortunately, once again, we are out of time. And as I predicted, we were out of time on before we're really done with this. But the fact is, I think we'll pick up tomorrow and talk about some of these arguments and how they're really not even worthy of being called a bumper sticker slogan rather than an argument. But the fact is they get used all the time, and Christians find themselves cowering before these really bad arguments. So join us tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.